I'll bet you have noticed that a lot of Bible stories have patterns to them. Many of them involve numbers. 12 disciples, 12 tribes of Israel. When Jesus was 12, he and his family went to Jerusalem for Passover. You may remember that after his family got home, they realized Jesus was not with them. And for 3 days, he was missing. Satan tempted Jesus 3 times while Jesus was spending 40 days in the wilderness. The epic flood involving Noah was 40 days. The number of days in Lent are 40. While not in the Bible, I spent 40 days in Boston recently for radiation treatments on my prostate.
It'll be batteries.
Is that any better? I'm going to yell. If I'm not yelling loud enough, please call my son and remind him that he was young. I did not yell very loud. If you can't hear me, we'll do something else. Just raise your hand. So while in Boston, I received radiation treatments on my prostate. Please know I'm healthy. I have zero concerns about cancer overtaking my body. And I'm happy to say I have no complications or side effects from that experience. During our time there, Linda was with me most of the time. We stayed at the American Cancer Society's Hope Lodge. The Hope Lodge is a 45-room facility for cancer patients and caregivers who are receiving lengthy treatments for cancer and who are away from home for many days, that home being at least 50 miles away from the hospital. And we, just like everyone else, had a 2-bedroom suite. Every week, 2 or 3 times a week, an organization would bring in and serve a catered meal from one of Boston's restaurants. We had a retired submarine commander who drove the shuttle bus and took us each day to the hospital. You can imagine a submarine commander's sense of humor. We had our own refrigerator, freezer space. We had space for our dry goods in a cupboard. There were washers and dryers on every floor. Even the laundry detergents were provided. Everything you see at the Hope Lodge was free. You can imagine for 40 days in that wilderness, what a great gift that was, not just for me and for Linda, but for all of those who go to that location each year. While these 40 days were not a biblical story per se, they were indeed spiritual. While we were there, we met new friends from all over. There were people from Africa, from Latin America, all 6 New England states, and from many other states throughout the U.S. In a twist that only God could arrange, perhaps, the one that brought a smile to our face, is that one evening, as Linda walked through the large kitchen, there was a conversation going on in a smaller kitchen. 2 people had just arrived. When Linda introduced herself to them, people said, "Oh, they're from Honduras." Linda said, "Where?" And they said, "From the island of Roatan." That was an island that Linda and I lived on for 2 years. Turns out we had many mutual friends, not the least of whom is God. While we were there, we met 20-somethings. We were there with their mothers, receiving treatment. Dug themselves deeply into their very precious lives. Curious. Non-cable lymphomas that invaded their white blood cells so that their germ-fighting system could not extinguish that germ. Others came with cancer that had tunneled into tonsils and adenoids and mouths and just about every other body part and organ that you can imagine. Over 6 weeks, we witnessed all kinds of people with all kinds of cancer that with all kinds of possible survival odds. For some, there's hope for a cure. For others, there are only prayers. And dreams of what might be. But for some of us, like me, the treatments were nothing more than an inconvenience. Researchers and technologies have made so many cancers nothing more than a chronic illness, treatable, manageable, and yes, survivable. Yet regardless of the cancer, regardless of the possible outcome, every one of us was bonded together by a very primal desire. The desire to live beyond an illness, to not become the diagnosis or prognosis, not to acquiesce to it, not to become it or to give it permission to own our minds. For cancer can claim a body, but cancer can never claim a mind without giving it permission. So we were all bonded by a very simple goal, a shared dream, the profound, inescapable conclusion that we are all seeking the same thing, not just people with illness, but healthy people too, regardless of skin color, language spoken, food preferences, cultural differences, political parties, gender, age, poor, wealthy, or zip codes, there is no difference to the fact that we are all God's children, all members of the body of Christ, and we all want to be healthy and to be free and to live. Paul's letter to his friends in Corinth that Janet read to us is a colorful way of showing this interconnectedness of God's people. The importance of each body part and the critical importance of each one of us. No part, no person more important than another. All necessary to make the body of Christ work. But modern science, unbeknownst to our dear apostle friend Paul, has opened the door to jettison some of those body parts that seem to have little value. And therefore, perhaps we may even conclude that some people can be jettisoned also. For the same reason, a little value. We know that a person can live well without their appendix, their tonsils, their spleen, their adenoids, their gallbladders. One can even survive with one lung or a kidney. So I offer this morning another metaphor in place of the one that Paul was talking about. At the Hope Lodge, there are four floors, three of which have residences. On each of the floors of the residence, there's a lounge area. In that lounge, a TV, a couch, multiple chairs, a library, a table for playing games and putting together jigsaw puzzles. Puzzles were very common. They were community puzzles. Someone would dump 1,500,000 pieces would scatter across the table, randomly, chaos of sorts. Usually it started with just one person. And then throughout the day, into the night, day after day, another person would come along and put a piece or two into the puzzle. Slowly it took shape. People knew the pieces fit together. You know, patience and vision, a picture form that looked just like the one on the box. Not that box, but every puzzle comes with a box, a picture, giving us instructions. It seems to me that life is like a jigsaw puzzle. Sometimes it feels like a collection of random people. Often it feels chaotic with people fighting with each other over cultural, political, all kinds of differences that appear real and important. Believing that they are right and others are wrong, and maybe those who are wrong are expendable like an appendix or a tonsil or perhaps a spleen. And maybe it's because each one of us looks like an individual piece of a puzzle. We don't look like anyone else. How can I possibly fit into this mess? How can they? And maybe that occurs to us because when God spilled us out onto the table of life, there was no box with a picture on it that we could refer to that showed us how life is to be lived, how we have a place in creation, how all the places, all the pieces have a place in what God had in mind to begin with. And each one of us does look different. Here are three pieces. We have protrusions, we have indents, we have knobs that stick out, holes where our heart was once gutted. There's no way this can work, we might say. There's no way we can get along and belong to God. There's no way we can all fit together on this planet or even in this community. So maybe we lower our eyes and then our sights to something smaller. We make another puzzle, our puzzle this time. But it's not God's puzzle. We use fewer pieces, the ones that basically look alike. And we decide that maybe that's how it could work. We make puzzles with pieces that share our comfortable view of the world, mistakenly believing that if we leave some of God's pieces out, life will be safer and life will be happier. We start with the easiest parts of the puzzle, the frame, the outer edges. We create these boundaries to help us contain the pieces, telling us that nothing meaningful happened beyond these borders. There are no pieces that would fit out there. And somehow we find our refuge within our boundaries. But this only adds to the complexity of understanding God's puzzle. God has no boundaries. God has no limits. There are no hard edges with God, no dead ends. Everything belongs. And creation continues to expand because God is infinite with no beginning and with no end. God has, as the ancient Franciscan Bishop Bonaventure said, a center that is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. In other words, wherever you are surrounded and inseparable from God. With the United Church of Christ statement, that wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Here's the thing. Here's the thing with God's puzzle. Everyone does belong. No piece is expendable. There are boundaries. There are no boundaries to contain the possibilities. Every single piece needs another piece to complete it. For the puzzle to reach its potential, to become the picture that God envisions with creation, is to understand, accept, and insist that all of us are interconnected. Every one of us has a critical place to fill for the kingdom of God to live, the kingdom of justice, of mercy, and of love. When we find frustration with others, irritation about not fitting in, it's simply because we are trying to fit into a different part of the puzzle. It is not that we don't belong. It's not that others don't belong. It's that we are looking in the wrong places to fit, convinced that just because we share opinions and affinities with others, that that is the place that we belong. We are convinced the shape of our puzzle pieces destined to fit into a hole that we see. So we might push, we might squeeze, we might jam ourselves into that opening only to find that we've damaged ourselves in the process. What we must learn, what we must become convinced of as children of God, is to know that there is a place that we belong. That place is easy. That place is comfortable. And that place takes work, takes faith, it takes a commitment to find it. But know this, God does not make mistakes. God does not make junk. God does not make simple puzzles with only a few pieces to live within the boundary. God makes a universe rich with diversity, colors, ways of being, yet all interconnected and sharing the basic desire to live. Every one of us wants this. We are made in the image and the likeness of God, each a critical piece of God's creation, filled with divine DNA, an irrevocable connection to the Creator and to each other. We make the puzzle not on our own, but with others, each with a place, each with a hole to fill. There are no expendable pieces, no piece that can say to another, I have no need for you, no piece that is so weak that it is indispensable. On the contrary, we are all necessary to make the body of Christ, for God would not have created any piece that had no value. God would make no peace that had no value. Yet sometimes our connectedness, just like pieces of a puzzle, are hard to see how they come together. However, when an etch-a-sketch of life is shaken, it's a good time to review life. In fact, any time is a good time to review. We may ask, where am I on my journey? How am I living? If I died today, would I be satisfied with how I have lived? What would my family, my friends, my neighbors say about me at my funeral? What would God say to me at the pearly gates? Friends, it is not too late to fit comfortably into God's puzzle, God's large puzzle. Everyone has a place. God's creation is not complete without all of us. Hear that loudly, hear that clearly, that every puzzle is whole only when every piece is assembled. Let no puzzle of yours go without your being there, because someday you may have an experience on the fourth floor of the Hope Lodge where a dozen people over 3 or 4 days worked hard to put a puzzle together. And when it was done, there was a single piece missing in the middle of that puzzle. Little by little, the people gathered. Where is that piece? The frustration mounted. No one could find that piece of the puzzle. And yet they knew that all their hard work over days and hours of trying to assemble this gorgeous puzzle of 1,000 pieces, only 999 were there. With frustration, they left. They walked away. As often happened, new people came into the lodge that day. The caregiver of one of them on the fourth floor walked over to the puzzle, sat and noticed that the piece was missing, got down on her hands and her knees, and found that piece on the floor. In that moment, she reminded us that that's God, looking for us when we've wandered away. We don't feel like we belong. We can't fit into the puzzle. We feel like we're missing. Others are missing us too. But just as Jesus tells the story of the shepherd going after the one sheep that ran away from the 100, God is always looking for us to be our piece in God's puzzle to make life whole, so the kingdom of God can be at hand when we step up and fill the hole that we belong. Amen.